Thank you very much for inviting me. It's always a privilege to share God's word with people. And on the back, I have a book table because I believe in the power of the written word. One is great, The Fasting Key, very good book, and that is very important to keep your spiritual life really with the Lord close for reflection of mind and things. One is Active Evangelism, what I think is what we heard this morning, really a very relevant one. And that is an outstanding book, Why Trust the Bible? Because that is really, it's now the key, that the big thing, what is now always is, where people say the Bible contain the Word of God, and it's not the Word of God. The meaning is, they say that only some information is the Word of God, not every single word. And we as evangelical Christians believe the Bible is the Word of God, because in the moment it is not the Word of God, you can't claim God's promises because you don't know what. And one is maybe also very helpful, walking in divine health, that God have enshrined in the scripture principles to keep healthy, to look after ourselves, and then to really to apply them in a very practical way to our life. And today, the topic, what God really put on my heart, what I believe probably is so important today is, who needs theology? That is really the topic. Who needs theology? Because today we see a movement in the church, what I believe is apostasy, turning away or falling away from the firm foundation of the faith. And theology is not an enemy of a relationship with Christ. Because many times when you talk about theology, people think, oh no, that is only dead, dry, boring stuff. And that can be. But the Bible makes it very clear, theology, doctrine is important to have a meaningful relationship with the Lord. And Martin Lloyd Jones was saying, when you have only the word, you dry up. And when you have only the spirit, you blow up. That means either the word and the spirit need to go hand in hand. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will never do something but contradict the word of God. That's very important. And the main verse, what I really have is John 3:16, what probably most people know. That God so loves this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And very interesting, because last week I saw on YouTube that one person put on YouTube that he had a van. He's a pastor, and he put on his van on the back John 3:16. And then he went to a petrol station and put petrol in, and then a police car was there, and the police officer came to him and said to him that that could be offensive to have it on his van when someone complained as a hate crime. And that is where we can see more and more. And we know that we can later, when it comes to the crunch, we can say, it's only a quote from a historical book which shaped history in Britain for the last 1,500 years. But the point is that that it becomes more and more hate crime, same when we are on the street, where we need all this phrasing things in the right way. When we say, the Bible said, they can't get you. When you say, make some statement about the Bible, about they wouldn't say it's your opinion. Although many times we need to use the phrase, the Bible said, like Billy Graham, that was also really his main phrase always. The Bible said, you must be born again. Yeah. The Bible said, he was a Bible man. And God used him in an amazing way. Hallelujah. But things have changed today. And the question by who need theology is really, what has brought about this appalling lack of interest and frequently hostility to theology amongst Christian lay people, students, and even pastors? Because many times when I speak also about doctrine, theology, then people shut off and then they say, oh no, I'm into relationship, I'm following the Spirit is more important. But the reality is that Spirit will never do anything which would be contrary to the Word of God. On Christianity Today said, both lay people and pastors rate a theological knowledge last out of five qualifications most important for a good pastor. And that is a bad, sad reflection. Because you need a pastor who knows theology. That's the reason why most pastors go to Bible college or correspondence course or to have an understanding what the Bible actually teach. And theology is really the study of God. Theo meaning God and logos meaning word. And the reality is that Jesus is the word of God and Jesus is God. And we live today in the time of the Holy Spirit because the Father received the worship. The Son sit at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. And the Holy Spirit lives in believers today. We're in the age of the Holy Spirit. And they're all three equal, but they have different offices, different positions in the Trinity. What we believe, one God in three persons. And that is the reason why we need to know what we believe. Because many Christians believe the right thing, but they don't know why. And then they're shipwrecked, especially young people when they go to university, because then the professors try to twist their mind, try to challenge them, and through this, they lose their thing. And the same is today on the street. I mean, the Muslims, they're not shy to try to really challenge you, but we have every week to quote scriptures out of context. And when you don't have theology, then you don't know what it means. And theology is really ordering biblical teaching systematically. That means although you pull the scriptures together from different books of the Bible to get the teaching. Because many times when the Muslims come, show me in the Bible that Jesus said, I'm God, worship me. Then you say, it's not in the Bible. But the teaching is in the Bible. Then we can show later that Jesus claims to be God. In John 14, verse 9, he said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father, you have seen God. John 1 said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Amen. And then the greatest verse, what is specifically very well translated in the King James Bible, is 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifested in the flesh, because modern translated, really watered down to he. That is the reason why we need to show them that Jesus is God in flesh, that Jesus is Jehovah God, and that everything what is referred to Jehovah in the Old Testament is referred to Jesus in the New Testament. But we have like a book for pastors or for Christian workers, which is called Systematic Theology. And they speak especially about different topics like theology, the proper study of the nature and attributes of God. They speak about biology, the study of the Bible, the nature and origin, the history, or Christology, the study of Jesus and his work, or pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. And through this, you can go on where all things is. On one topic, they are always forgotten, and that is really the study of Israel. But it's really Israelology, and that is one third of the Bible. That is very important to understand that Israel is really the most important part for God for the full redemption of humanity. They are no different than anyone else, but because God has chosen them and put them in the center of the world. And that is the reason why Israel has received the most discipline of all the nations in the world, because God have entrusted so much to them. but they're still God's people. And as Christians, we need to stand in the gap. Yeah. And theology is very important to understand. It is important against heresy. And we saw John in the early church when wrong teaching came in, Gnosticism and many other things, which denied that Jesus had a body that was only the emphasis on the spirit, that through history later we see that people denied that Jesus was God, he was created, what you were witness still promoting today in the Christadelphians. And we see today from television preachers to spiritual section of mainstream bookstores, all kinds of strange doctrines, other gospels are being promoted and accepted by Christians unequipped to evaluate them. You see, when you don't know what you believe, you fall for everything. But when you know what you believe, then you can see that there is something dodgy here. It's the same when you work in a bank. You don't study every banknote, you study the real banknote. And when you compare later the fake one with the real one, you know which is real and which is fake. And we don't need to study all the strange, crazy teaching which is coming up on the internet, coming up with people, what you have today, the Black Heap Israelites, and all these kind of groups which suddenly pop up and have strange teaching. And in the first moment, that looks so real, because they quote scripture, they carry a King James Bible. But when you later look, what are they actually saying? And one question you need always to ask about any group, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? That is what Satan hates the most. And nearly 99.9% of these groups deny that Jesus is God. And that is the reason why, schon in the time of the apostles, they have formulated like a statement of faith, what we call the Apostles' Creed. And you can give everybody one, Susan. And that is where we go through what is the gospel. When you know what the gospel is, you will never be deceived. And that is a good one where they go through it and said the first, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And the word Lord is capital, what means God. That is what we need to understand. That means, although we believe, first of all, not in evolution. We believe this earth is only 6,000 years old, according to scripture. Because we have the age of the people. We know in 6 days God, literal 6 days, God created this earth. Then we have the age of Adam and Eve. And then through this, God gave all the ages, and we can count them together and know that it's not more than 6,000 years. That's a fact, according to scripture. And that will completely go against secular society. But that is where we're standing out, and we can give things. And then he was, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the virgin birth. And we know that 600 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah, what we read every time in the Christmas time, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name is Almighty God. Amen. How many gods we believe in? One. Although he have to be this one. Because the your witness said, they say he's Almighty God, but not the one Almighty God. Is they play with words. But when I showed them later that Jesus God, and many times they disappear. I said, oh, I think we don't carry on the conversation and disappear. Or they come to know the Lord. And then said, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. That is a historical fact. Any person who deny that Jesus died on the cross in AD 32 and was crucified by the Romans through Pontius Pilate is denying history. And that is what the Muslims do. And I said to him, it's absolute a brainless religion which deny historical facts. You can say, I don't want to believe in it. You can say, I'm not interested. But you can't deny, in the same way you can't deny that Napoleon existed, or that Cyrus was the Persian man who gave the Jewish people the permission to go back to Israel. That's a historical fact. No one can deny this. That's ever written in history. The evidence is overwhelming. And that through this, we know that he was crucified. We know that he was taken down from the cross, was buried, and rose again because he was later seen by a lot of people, not only by believers, also by non-believers. Although the fact is that he died and rose again. And he's the only religious leader who died on the cross and rose again. Many died on the cross. That's the reason why it's not the death of Jesus so important. The resurrection is the key. The resurrection is the key because no other person rose from the dead after he died, except Lazarus, but he died again. That is where the Bible makes it very clear. And then the Bible said he descended into hell. That means, although they believed in a literal hell, lake of fire, eternal separation in consciousness from Almighty God. They believed it. And Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else in the Bible. Although through this, we as Christians need to take heed of it. That's the reason why when you have liberal theologians, they don't know what they're talking about. And that is the reason why people reject many times a theology, because we have different groups of theology. We have folk theology, that means other people mix biblical teaching with tradition, what especially in the Roman Catholic Church, in the Orthodox Church, Armenian Church, you know, where they have a lot of things what is added to the Bible or nullify the Word of God. That is really folk theology, which we completely reject. Then you have lay theology, where people which become born again read the Bible a little bit mixed up with different topics, but sincere and believe the core teaching of the Bible, but sometimes need to be corrected and said from the context, this and this is the meaning. And then you have really pastor theology, ministers theology, which is very good because they studied the Word of God and they tried to pass it on to the congregation, what the context of Scripture said, and pull the information together. Very good. And then we have academic theology, people which study specifically and devote their life to study the Word of God and write books and help us to understand the Scripture in different areas, sometimes important issue, secondary issue, to understand them in a better way, what is very, very good. And then you can have some academic liberal theology which really put everyone off on theology, because these people are not saved in the first place. These people pervert the Scripture, and that is liberal theology, which we completely reject. And then he said, yeah, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from where he will come to judge the living and the dead. That speaks clearly when Jesus died, he went into the dead kingdom, because in the Old Testament, the sin was only covered up. No one could go to heaven straight away. There was the dead kingdom, what the Bible calls in Luke 16, Abraham's bosom. There was one part for believers, one for non-believers. And every year, the Jewish people needed to celebrate Yom Kippur to cover up the sin of the nation. It was not taken away because the Messiah was not here. Although they were a reminder that still was not sin between them, and they needed a priest or a high priest which went into the most holy place. But when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, salvation was completed. And then people which were in the dead kingdom on the believer part went into heaven out of the body present with the Lord, their soul, their body still in the grave. The non-believers stayed in the dead kingdom, what we call hell. And then the Bible said one day when Jesus comes back for the church is the rapture. There's a Latin word for caught up, snatching away, where we all be snatched away and our physical body changed to a spiritual body and our soul will be united with the new spiritual body. And there's no difference between people which died 1,000 years ago or we today, because in God's presence there's no time and space, what we have here. That's the reason it's then out of the body, present with the Lord, what the Bible said. And then Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead. That the Bible said then is a judgment seat of believers, because Christ have already paid the penalty for our sin. We receive rewards and will reign with Jesus for 1,000 years, the Bible speaks, when Jesus comes back and reign for 1,000 years. The non-believers stay in the grave, their body in hell, really this place. And then after the 1,000 years, they will be judged according what was written in the book, because their name was not in the book of life. That is so what the Bible said as a small outline. As we know, there is at least 1,007 years between the believers going into God's presence and receiving the reward, and the non-believers will be judged after the 1,000 years and be thrown into the lake of fire, the eternal state, where they will not lose their consciousness, where they still will be aware, where it's gnashing of teeth in the lake of fire, where Satan will be thrown in, the false prophet, Antichrist, and forever and ever they will be separated from the presence of God. And that is really the pain. Because still non-believers experience the presence of God here in this world through the church, and because God is omnipresent and still give us good things. But then there will be outer darkness, the Bible said, gnashing of teeth, eternal separation. And that is the reason when he comes in his final judgment. And that is the reason why we should be proud to be Christian, shown alone to understand that Jesus already took our judgment when he died on the cross. Hallelujah. That's the reason why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is a power of God for everyone who believes. And the gospel is very simple. In a nutshell is that through Adam and Eve, we received a sinful nature, because sin separated us from God. And our sinful nature separate us from a holy God to have straight away a relationship with him. And the Bible said that only through faith in Christ we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And that is what the Bible calls to be born again. And in the moment a sinner recognizes that he is not perfect, he is a sinner, that he is separated from a holy God, and that every time we sin, we store up God's wrath on our life. There's a reason why we shouldn't say that God loves you, in the sense that every time we sin as a non-believer, we store up God's wrath. We can say God loves every single person equally, but at the moment your sin is separating you from this love relationship with God, and show them first that they understand that they're lost already and that they need a savior to be changed in their heart. And that is really the understanding what people need. Because it's easy always to talk about the love of God, but it's very difficult to talk about the judgment of God, the wrath of God. And when you read the book of Romans, when you read the book of Revelation, and read the book of Timothy, many times the Bible speaks the wrath of God. Yeah. God is a holy God. He's not a teddy bear in heaven. He is a holy God who will judge sin. And the Bible said because we couldn't save ourselves, that Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sin. That is really the love of God. God loves us so much that he said, I pull you out of the water. You see, because you are drowning. And in the moment you understand your condition, then you will grab salvation. And I think sometimes we need to show people more their lost state, that they're already lost. und that they need a savior. And then we explore the love of God, that God left heaven, that he lived a perfect life, and that he paid the penalty for your and my sin. And that only through Jesus Christ we can come into this relationship with the Father. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the true, and the life, no other way. There's no other way to the Father except through me. That is the reason why religion is always a deception of the enemy. Religion keeps you religiously busy and gives you some kind of confidence, but it still brings spiritual darkness in your life. You're always in limbo and don't know how much you need to do to be saved. And the Bible said, we are saved by grace, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God that no one boasts himself. And in Timothy we read that God said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners from their sin. And also he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to destroy the work of the devil. False religion is a work of the devil, because it keeps you religiously busy, gives you wrong confidence that everything is fine when you die. But still, you will be eternally separated from God. And that is the reason why Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. And that is really what he says. And then he said, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. And we don't need to ignore him. When you go to a party and you take your partner, your wife, your husband, your whoever with you, and the people which invited you always would ignore your partner, you would be upset. And in the same way, many Christians many times upset the Holy Spirit because they ignore him. Yes, the Father, yes, the Son, but they really ignore the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is equally God than the Father and the Son. And we need to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you read later in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit warned them not to go. The Holy Spirit filled them. The Holy Spirit stop them to go to different places. Although through this we see he's a person, he can speak to others, but we need to exercise our listening skill to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will never say anything or do anything which is in contradiction to the Bible. Amen. Because he was a person who inspired the Bible in the first place. Although he will never contradict his own word, but we should give him more place in our life to put him first. And then the Bible said, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. And that is a big confusion for a lot of people, because the word Catholic means universal. The word Catholic means universal. It's no problem for us. It doesn't mean Roman Catholic. It means universal. Sometimes we can put the word universal in instead of Catholic. But Catholic means universal. That was in the time of the apostles and later the time of the early church. That was a universal church, what is called Ecclesia, called out ones. That means every believer is called out of this world. We're in the world, but not from the world. And Ecclesia is a church. It's not a building. The church is a body of Jesus Christ. Yes, we use also the word church for local assembly, for a building. But in the context here, is really that the Catholic Church is a universal church. Are you in Kenya? Are you in Singapore? Are you in Russia? Are you in Germany? Are you in Britain? Are you in Israel? We're all one of the real body of Christ. We are baptized into one body. Amen. And that is the reason why there is not denomination. It doesn't matter if you're a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal, charismatic, as long as you're born again and have the Spirit of God. Yes, there are differences, maybe secondary issues. And the Bible said always, we should act in love We can agree to disagree in secondary issues and then open the Bible and show the other person he's wrong. That is all, but I see it many times. We need to open the scripture or they show us that we are wrong because no one is perfect. Because we are tainted by maybe sometimes teaching, we grew up in different churches, but we need to go to the scripture. And one thing is very clear, the scripture make it crystal clear that Israel are God's chosen people. The church never replaced Israel. That is a bad teaching in the church, a very bad teaching. And in the same way, the Bible make it very clear that we are not saved through baptism, not saved through good works. It is only through faith in Christ. We are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. That was what the reformers got right, that they completely rejected the Catholic Church and said, we don't need saints, we don't need Mary, we don't need sacraments, we need only the Word of God and Jesus Christ. And that was like a wildfire all over Europe, all over the world. And today you can see that today the Assembly of God is the largest Christian denomination in the world. That is only what I heard last week. It's the largest Christian denomination worldwide, the Assemblies of God. It's bigger than the Anglicans or other, the Anglicans anyway, they die out. But and especially what you have now in the Church of England, where so many things coming in, and I feel very sad for godly, faithful Anglican ministers, which are under tremendous pressure to accept this kind of things. And then the Bible said, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting life. Then they really bring in, there's only forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ. The resurrection is really the foundation of Christianity. Because many people died for good causes, for bad causes. Many people died, but they never came back to life. Only Jesus Christ, the Bible said, death could not hold him. Remember, read later 1 Corinthians 15 is a main chapter about the resurrection. And that is the reason is why the Bible said that Jesus Christ died for our sin according to Scripture. They didn't make up the story. It was shown before, reported in the Old Testament, that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to Scripture. That was also later shown in the Psalms, prophesied beforehand. Also through this, everything what Jesus did in his life was foretold. There were 340 precise foretellings or prophecies about the first coming about Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing is, three times more prophecies are about his second coming. Over 1,000 prophecies about his second coming. And we live on borrowed time. We live in a time window where all the prophecies are now falling into place. You see, when you go to the theater, they sit on the stage and the curtain is closed. And when everything is set right, the curtain go open. And we are now in the place where everything is set right, only the curtain need to open. Because we can see what is happening in Israel, with Israel. And many times we complain, like we see a small thing like, it's now the new mayor in New York, which is a Muslim. We later complain, oh, how can they vote for a mayor? And probably one third of the Jewish people have voted for the mayor. Because they is the largest Jewish community in outside Israel in the world. And it's very interesting is what I saw on its different report, that it's now the conservative Jewish people, which are more geared to Judaism and open to the word of God, they now fleeing New York and going back to Israel. And in the same moment, all the woke and left-wing people in Israel leaving Israel and moving to New York. Although God is cleaning up the country to bring people in which are hungry for God, people which want to know more about God. And the Bible says that God will pour out his spirit on whole Israel in the last days. And we live yet now in this time window. That's the reason we need to understand the Jewish people came back to Israel in unbelief, like Ezekiel said. They come first back in unbelief. And at the end, when Christ comes back, they will look on him which they have pierced. And God will pour out his spirit on whole Israel. And whole Israel will be saved in one day. But we see now the preparation where we see more and more Jews becoming Messianic Jews, where God starts to set up. In the same way like in the book of Acts, we saw more and more Gentiles became believers. First it was only Jewish people on the day of Pentecost, and then later more and more Gentiles came to know the Lord as a Savior. And the same things happen now with Israel. And the Bible said that the main sign of the last day is deception. And that is the reason why we need theology. Theology protects us from knowing what is right and what is wrong. We don't need to be a theologian, but every Christian is a theologian in a sense, because we have an understanding who God is. We have an understanding that Jesus is God. We have an understanding about sin, how sin separates us, and we needed a savior to come into the right relationship. And the Bible makes it very clear that no one is born as a Christian. You can grow up in a Christian family and still end up in hell. When you not personally take responsibility, and that's the reason I like it, son, to pray with us and give you the opportunity to ask Christ to come into your life when you're not sure that Christ is your Savior. When you do it only once in your lifetime, then the Bible said we are sealed with the Holy Spirit for redemption. But one day we need to step out. When I did it when I was 23, some people did it maybe when they were children, some people did it first in later years. It doesn't matter when you do it, as long as you are now in the kingdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we have the Apostles' Creed, which gives us a clear understanding what is Christianity in a nutshell. And Father, I pray for each individual person here. Holy Spirit, I pray that you prick his conscience. Holy Spirit, we pray that you have grace and mercy for him, to help him to see his own condition, that he is separated in spiritual darkness. Maybe have Christian values, maybe have a Christian moral understanding, but Father, that will never save us. Father, I pray that you help him to understand that only the perfect sacrifice, which was done on the cross by Jesus Christ, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture, can take away our sin. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you will help him to understand, that you take the spiritual blindness away and help him to understand when he wants to live eternity with you, he has to repent, turning away from his sin, and with a broken spirit come to you and say, Lord, I know I have messed up things in my life. I'm not perfect, but I thank you that you love me so much that you left heaven, that you lived a perfect life, but more, you went to the cross for me to take my sin, that I can have this meaningful relationship with the living God. And Father, we thank you that you say, is someone in Christ, he is a new creation. You say that he is transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that he is now a child of God, and adopted into the family of God. And Father, we pray for each individual. Father, we pray that you will really help him to understand that now he has to walk in your word, that he has to read God's word daily to understand you better and more. And we know that your spirit will create a hunger for the word of God. And Father, we thank you that you have for each individual person here in this church. Father, we pray that you give them this deep assurance that Jesus is his, and that nothing can separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. but Father, that our responsibility is to be a witness for Jesus. And Father, we thank you that we can give this Christmas time before you, that you give us really one person which is maybe open to the gospel, but maybe confused, maybe have it never really clearly understood, Jesus. That you help us to help him, to bring him into the kingdom. Father, we thank you that we can bring this before you. We pray for all the activities which are going on over the Christmas time, that you will use it to bring non-believers in, yes. And also to build up believers in their faith. We want to give you all the glory and honor in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you, Bert.
Thank you, Bert. Some wonderful, wonderful truths there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.